السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira and Sermia. On this beautiful Friday afternoon, we have already moved into the third day of Dhul Hijjah, subhanAllah. And yes, next week the Hujjaj will start making their way for their momentous journey of Hajj to Mina. So it definitely is moments where we are encouraged to make excessive dua. Days like these are only 10 that come once in a year. So let's try, like we made the most of Ramadan, let's try and make the most out of these days as well, inshallah. And as we keep our eyes focused on the Hujjaj and their movements during the 5 days of Hajj and the culmination of their long 4 week or 6 weeks journey, let's not forget that here in South Africa or wherever else in the world we may be, and we may not be on the journey of Hajj, we too have a big role to play in that. You know, there will be the day of Arafah where we can make excessive dua, where we can fast on this day. In fact, we should be fasting. For those of us who can make it, we should have been fasting from the first of Dhul-Hijjah already, because the rewards are really great. One day is equal to an entire year of fasting, and one night is like standing the night of Laylatul Qadr, subhanAllah. But yes, and then we move closer and closer to the day of Eid. So next week Friday, inshallah, we won't be speaking to each other, rather we would have all been, you know, done with the Qurbani maybe by now, or if you're doing it a bit later, whatever it may be, you're probably just finishing up your family meal, whatever it may be. But it will be the day of Eid, and it will be a great day of great celebration. And alhamdulillah, that is why as much as our hearts yearn to be with the Hujjaj, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us really soon, we also have our own actions that we need to complete. There will be the Takbir Tashreeq that starts on the 9th. So let's keep it all in perspective, inshallah, and let's try to do the most, no matter where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us, here in our home countries or whether we are in the Haramain. Alright, what exactly do we have planned for you for this Friday afternoon? Some very exciting things. Laika is coming on live in a few seconds. She'll be with us, inshallah, or a few minutes rather. She'll be with us. Thereafter, I have the Healing Hub. Yes, we haven't done Healing Hub in a while, and alhamdulillah, our busy lady, Sister Amina Jamal, has very kindly offered her time to us this afternoon. So she'll be chatting with us for a good 25 minutes to half an hour, inshallah. And we will be speaking how women can love themselves and value themselves and know what their value is in the community. So that's what you can expect in the second half of the program, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this ad break. Laika Idris, alhamdulillah, Laika has taken out the time to be with us live this Friday afternoon. Laika, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's so lovely having you live on the program with us once again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I have taken the time to go live today because this was such an inspiring story. It did happen almost a week now, but I just have to share it with listeners because I think it was so good, and I'm going to go into it. It's about the British Hajj riders that completed the cycle ride to Saudi Arabia. The cycling enthusiasts endured grueling weather conditions and cycled 2,000 miles to make it to Medina. 8 British Muslims have reached Saudi Arabia after cycling more than 2,000 miles apart to form the Hajj pilgrimage. The men completed the challenge in under 6 weeks after riding through parts of Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Greece, Egypt, and Switzerland. Dubbed as the Hajj Riders, the 8 cyclists come from across Britain and trained for more than 3 months to complete the challenge. They rode through mountain ranges and endured grueling weather conditions to reach their final destination of Medina. Some of the obstacles faced by the Hajj riders included intense desert heat in Egypt and Saudi Arabia and the torrential rain as they rode through parts of Europe. They also faced restrictions and visa issues which forced them to fly into Jeddah instead of taking a ferry, deviating from the original plan of cycling directly into Medina from the coast. Throughout the European leg of their journey, they had support vehicle and relied on generosity of locals in every country they passed through, and often Muslims would offer them shelter and food. One of the Hajj riders, Abdul Muqeef, who rode the full journey, spoke of the team's joy after reaching the Prophet's mosque in Medina on a live stream from the Hajj Rides private Facebook page. And he said, just walking into the Haram, he cannot bring the emotions into words, and nearly 6 weeks of riding, he cannot believe that the journey is complete, but one journey is finished, and now they must complete the next part. The men arrived in Saudi Arabia on Saturday evening and were given a police escort in Medina to the Prophet's mosque, which is the second holiest site for Muslims. And greeted by locals and cycling enthusiasts, the Hajj riders were showered with flowers and onlookers who sang songs in Arabic to welcome them to Saudi Arabia. Upon arriving at the mosque, images on social media show the men breaking down into tears of joy as crowds gathered to welcome the Hajj riders. Pilgrims could be seen hugging the Hajj riders in Medina and taking selfies with them. The Hajj riders will now rest in Medina, where they will begin preparations to complete the Hajj pilgrimage, which is due to begin at the end of August. They are also raising money for the medical facilities inside Syria and hoping to reach their £1 million target via donations. Thousands of Muslims have already begun to arrive in Saudi Arabia to perform the Hajj pilgrimage. And like the millions due to arrive, the Hajj riders went through Jeddah to have their visas processed before continuing on to Medina for the final legs. And this ride marks the first time a British group of Muslims has cycled from Britain to reach Saudi Arabia to complete Hajj. And it's also quite exciting to go on to social media, Facebook. You can also use YouTube to follow their journey and see what they've been through and some of the conditions that they've enjoyed, because it just shows that they never gave up, and they used probably going for Hajj and the donation as their driving force, and they continued going forward. And you can follow their story on the Human Aid UK's YouTube channel or the Hajj Road Facebook page, just to get a better insight of what they endured and what they've been through. And that's a wrap of the informal scoop with me, Like I Dreed, today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk لا شريك لك لبيك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك لبيك اللهم لبيك.
Has life's challenges got you feeling confused and disillusioned? Join Friday Fusions in-house counselor Amina Kathri Jamal and allow her to walk you through a path of holistic emotional well-being. The Healing Hub, exclusive to Radio Islam International.
Welcome back, and yes, as I said, up next we have Amina Jamal, and Amina Jamal has been a counselor for quite a while, you know, working with cancer patients and others as well. So when I had this topic that I wanted to discuss about Muslimas and about the feelings and about them feeling valued in society, it was kind of like, you know, it drew me to her, and I felt that she would be the best person to discuss this with. So without any further ado, inshallah, let's go to her and let's see what jewels and gems she has for us this afternoon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Amina. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very, very well, alhamdulillah. How are you doing, Walima?
I'm well, alhamdulillah. I must thank you. I know you're a very busy person, mashallah. Busy in the sense, lots of social work going on, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts, inshallah. But alhamdulillah, this Friday afternoon, you've made the time to come and join us here on Radio Islam International on Friday Fusion to share with the Muslimas your feelings, your ideas and your incentives on what exactly it means to be a Muslima in society, to love yourself, to value yourself, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, it's very, very important because, you know, it's the hand that rocks the cradle, that rocks the world, as the saying goes. So, you know, for us as women and Muslimas to have a good, you know, state of mind, a good state in your body, physically as well as emotionally, and then of course your spiritual self, which is of utmost importance. So when our connection with Allah Ta'ala is of a very, very high standard, then alhamdulillah, everything else puts into place. But these are all facets that need to work in synergy. They all need to work hand in hand to get a wholesome person. So this is what we've got to look at. And you know, this topic that you picked on, self-esteem, you know, I'm so glad that you did that, because recently we find that more and more our sisters are beginning to feel very down about themselves, things that are happening in their lives and so forth. And they find that, you know, they can't forgive themselves. They find it very difficult, you know, then to look at themselves in a loving manner. And, you know, this is what I want to talk about and concentrate a lot on today, on loving yourself. And actually, really important is to let go of guilt. And all often that when any circumstance that we are placed in, you know, we have this guilt. Now, guilt is basically a sense of responsibility over our actions. It's a regret. And, you know, or it's a feeling towards another person. And we hold ourselves accountable for something we did that disturbs our conscience. So this is what we often are sitting with. Now, guilt is not a bad thing to feel because it demonstrates that we have a conscience, right? That we're aware of what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what is bad. And that is the essential in the makeup of a healthy person, a healthy human being. But we sometimes are not well equipped with this, you know, we don't know how to direct this. So we end up feeling so guilty about the situation, and we start blaming ourselves. And what we need to do is take a better look at ourselves now. First, self-forgiveness is a gift that will actually help to release us from this bond that we have of shame and that holds us hostage. It's basically like cleansing our heart that will, you know, let new compassion and love flow in ourselves. And that is what is very important, is that we need to love ourselves and stop this guilt game, stop the blame game. You know, often it's not necessarily that it's because of you that you know, whatever is happening in your life, around you, in your family, and so forth that you are feeling. So we need to do that. So we need to eliminate these bad things that are happening in our life. You know, often they say, you know, when life throws lemons at you, make them into lemonade. So that's a common one. Now, of course, we all have our challenges, difficulties that we face, and whether it be it with relationships, communication, with our spouse, with our families, with our siblings, with our children, at the workplace, wherever you are, we are constantly having these challenges that we face. So if we can't eliminate these bad things in our lives, what we can do is to think about our thoughts and help and think, what are we going to do now to change that? And certain actions that we need to inculcate in our lives that will then bring about this kind of shaping of your life, if we can say it that. And, you know, how and what we think actually creates our life, from how we feel to what manifests then itself physically in your life. So if you find that you are then having aches and pains and difficulties as far as your physical self is concerned, you've got to look at your emotional self as well. So first and foremost, let's give you a few guides as to how you need to shape the life you want. Firstly, let's make an appointment with yourself. And I know that may just sound a little funny, but take a morning or an afternoon off to think about your life. And it may sound a bit scary to you because this is one of the first places I feel where we need to change our thoughts. And make it fun. What you can dream, you can craft a plan to achieve. So find the quiet places with no distraction, and or you know, even if you're sitting in your place where we normally pray our salahs, or you know, sit in that quiet corner, and then think. Secondly, daydream. It's okay to daydream. So during in that appointment that you're having with yourself, think about the areas in your life which you want to make a change. You know, so some areas which you may consider could be like your relationships that you are in, your financial situation, something in your home that's not working well, your routine, your physical health, your spiritual health, some leisure time, and so forth. Then write down your dreams. Write down what you want to change. Maybe there's only one area that you want to change. You don't have to change everything that's going on in your life, but there may be something that you want to change. So let's write down what it is that you want to change. And after that, make a note of that. You don't have to change everything that's going on, but if there's something that could improve the quality of your life, then write that down. Don't worry whether it's possible right now. Assume that everything is possible. Then the first thing we need to do is the action plan. So write some rough plans about how you could achieve those dreams or those changes that you want to make, and then break them down into long-term goals, into like in a monthly, weekly, daily things that you would do. And then importantly also is to have mentors, because who else has done what you want to do, or somebody has a life that you feel that looks good and you know that they can help you to get where you need to be. So try and link up with people who have that, and you feel, let them be like your mentor. Ask them, what changes have you made? How come? You know how we always discuss as women with other women certain problems that we have and so forth, and then you find somebody has been able to overcome that similar kind of problem that you've had. Also, be grateful. Very important is to show gratitude. Take time each morning to really appreciate what you currently have in your life. In the evening, take a bit of time to review what you've accomplished for the day, what you've learned from the day, either, you know, with quiet meditation. Again, best time is after our salah. Sit and take those 5 minutes, and you find that, you know what, you will feel so much better, because now you have actually been writing down, giving it some thought. What happens is that we just go without thinking, without stopping for a few minutes, without thinking where we are, what is happening in our lives. And, you know, it's very important for a woman to have a good sense of her physical self as well as her emotional self, because you will actually set the tone in your family. Now, if you find a woman that is not very happy, often we spend time saying, if only my husband will spend more time with me, if only my kids would listen to me, if only my mother-in-law would be nice to me, you know, things like that, if only the weather is different. Now, I'm sure, you know, Mu'allima, we hear this all the time. I know I also say that, you know, to myself. It seems like we want everyone else to change. We want the world to change, and then we feel the world will be okay. We want everyone to change except ourselves. We want to be able to carry on doing exactly what we are doing and think that in that way everything is going to change. But we forget that the change has to first come from within us. For example, let's look at what we can change. When we're making dua, instead of asking Allah Ta'ala to make things easy for us, let's ask Allah Ta'ala to help us to improve in our skills, in whatever we are doing, in the wisdom to cope with the challenges that we are facing. Because it's through facing these challenges and learning to overcome them that we'll get stronger and closer to Allah. So don't just say make things easy, but say give you the strength to be able to improve in whatever you are. Also, maybe instead of asking Allah Ta'ala to make our husband spend more time with us, let's ask Allah Ta'ala to help us work out what we can do to make the husband want to be with us more often. So we've got to look at ourselves as well. What are we doing that attracts them, or what are we doing that actually makes them go away, that they don't want to spend enough time with us? So instead of asking Allah to make our kids listen to us, ask Allah to help us to learn how to speak to our kids in a way that they will actually hang on to every word that you utter. Instead of asking Allah Ta'ala to make our mother-in-law to be kinder to us, let's ask Allah Ta'ala to help us to be kinder to her and have more understanding about why she reacts the way she does. So that's absolutely changing the way we are making dua. Instead of asking Allah to let our, you know, any other issue that you may have, start asking for it in a very different and a positive manner. There's absolutely nothing wrong in trying to build your own self-esteem by going and doing things that make you feel good. Spending time on yourself is very, very important. Go and do things that give you that joy, make you feel good. Look in the mirror and tell yourself in the mirror, I love you. I know initially it may just feel very strange and you feel like, how can I be talking to myself? But tell yourself, you love yourself. If you do something good, pat yourself on the back and say, now that was well done. You know, Mualima, often when we do something and we make a mistake, we end up saying, oh, how could I do this? You know, that's so silly of me. Let's not speak like that to ourselves. Let's say, it's okay, and I will now do this again and in a different way, and it's going to be better. But let's not forget also to praise our own selves. If you're not getting praise at home from people around you, it's fine. You need to praise yourself. We don't need recognition from others to feel worthy. We don't need recognition from other people to come and verbally tell us to feel that we are good. Alhamdulillah, you are good. Allah created us, so of course He's created perfection. So you look at yourself. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, don't look at your physical self. Look in the mirror and look into your own eyes and see, what do I see? Who do I see? Who is that person in that mirror? Not just your physical self and then worry about going and spending thousands of rands on makeup to correct everything that you're finding imperfect. Look deeper into yourself. Who am I? If you fell down today, somebody put you down, somebody said something to you, somebody demoralized you, you go and look at yourself and say, is that true about myself? No, I need to pick myself up. I'm not going to let that comment or that criticism put me down. I am going to hold my head up high. Of course, not with arrogance, not with pride. You know, you need to savor that morning cup of coffee and get your day started right. You know, if you're in the shower, nobody is there, you can sing a little to yourself. Nothing wrong with that. You know, eat properly, eat luxuriously. You know, forget those sad lunches when we're sitting at home as women and we just want to have something quick and that. Make yourself something exciting to eat because you deserve it. You owe it to yourself. Why do we treat ourselves like this? What or who gives anybody the right to put us down and then we believe that about ourselves? Have a good, sleep, 7-8 hours, because you waste, you know, precious time being tired and cranky all the day. So rather have your good sleep so you get up feeling better and you feel good about yourself as well. You know, the meditation, dhikr is so important. You know, it just makes us feel that much more calmer, more serene, and it brings sukoon into your life as well. So things like that are very important for us, that, you know, we can't badger ourselves and say, you know, I wish I could be a better mother, but I don't know how to do it, and things like that. We can't do that. Take some mindful me minutes. 10 minutes is very important. Close yourself off. No social media, no literature, no reading material around you. Close your eyes and just think about yourself. Think about your life. Think about just those minutes are for you. And mindful me minutes. You know, you get M&M's. Those are the chocolates. Well, this is 3 M's. So, inshallah, that's what you've got to do. So use that mindful me time each day. And let it become a muscle that will strengthen each time we practice it. You know, Ideally, we want to become like our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was often and frequently in a state of reflection and zikr. And indeed, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell his companions, "Let not your tongue cease to be moist with the remembrance of Allah. Mighty is He and majestic." And this is what I'm talking about. When we make this constant zikr, allow that to center around ourselves and to, you know, get yourself into a place, into a space where you are feeling worthy and you are feeling good about yourself. And this is very, very important that we need to do, and, you know, things that we'll do that will make our day much, much better, inshallah. Hello, Mualima.
Yes, Maaf, we are having one or two little gremlins in the line here, but yes, I caught most of what you said towards the end where we were having a bit of technical problems. But alhamdulillah, you know, just sitting here and listening to you, the reason I was so quiet was because it sounded so holistic, in the sense that often when you hear someone speaking from a counseling angle, it's just the angle of, you know, believe in yourself and those kind of things. But here you gave us, mashallah, a way not only to fill your own bucket with good emotions, but rather to sit on that musalla where you can ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to refill your bucket for you. And subhanAllah, when we gain our fuel and our stimulation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it really, really does make a big difference in our lives. Because we all understand as Muslims that no one can do besides Allah. And hence, when we go to Him to help us change a situation, it is almost as though we've now really made everything make sense in our lives. Yes. So, Samina, I know it's always never enough time to speak about aspects like this, because they're so vast and there's so much that we can actually touch on. But in the next few minutes, inshallah, if you could wrap up and leave the sisters with one or two little gems that they could use to bring themselves, to align their lives, inshallah. Because as we were speaking last night, as we were preparing this program, that their lives actually have an impact on so many other people's lives in and around their home, their children, their parents, their in-laws, like this. So, inshallah, if you could leave them with a few advices, and we'll have to wrap up after that.
Okay, no problem. You know, very important is that you can just do five or six things just to make yourself good. I mean, get up in the morning, groom yourself, make yourself look good, make yourself look pretty. And that is what is very, very important, because that alone will already build your self-esteem for the day. Plan your day, enjoy your breakfast without even checking your phone. Smile in the mirror, read for a few minutes. Meditate for a few minutes. Talk to a friend or family member deeply. Not making some, you know, panchayat or gossip story, but talk to them deeply about issues happening in the Muslim Ummah. Write down what makes you happy. Write down what makes you unhappy. And why is it making you unhappy? So you need to actually take stock. So when we groom yourself, dress up nicely, you feel good. And we're talking about, why are people dowdy at home? You must dress up your best at home. So go out of your way to look pretty in the morning. You know, wear your high heels before your husband goes to work. He goes to work. Sometimes the men encounter women all dressed up when they are in the corporate world or wherever, wearing stilettos and things like that. And they come home and you with your flip-flops, all you did was change from one Samira to the next Samira, right? And they can, you know, when they come to hug you, they can smell what the meal is of the day. So look pretty, smell nice, go out of your way to look like really something worthy for them to come home to. And, think positively. Your thoughts are very, very important. Is replace every negative thought with a positive one. You can actually change your thoughts. And by doing so, make great things happen. Just with this tiny little skill. Every time a little bad thought comes in, try and change it. The mind can only work on one thought at a time. So obviously if it's going to be filled with a negative one, there's no space for your positive thoughts. So let's get rid of those negative thoughts, because that is what also puts you down. Get to know yourself, as we spoke about earlier. Who are you? What are you? You know, you're not just a person who's there just to do the chores, do this, do that. You're also a person. You have an obligation to Allah Ta'ala. as well. And Allah, everything is an amana, and we are accountable for our time, we are accountable for everything, accountable for a healthy body, healthy mind, a spiritual self. So let's be somebody that we are feeling confident to be able to sit on the musalla and pray and tell Allah Ta'ala that I am your servant, but this is the type of servant I am of yours. So that again, your relationship with Allah Ta'ala actually is so important, and your relationship then with everybody else is so dependent on that relationship that you first have with Allah Ta'ala. So, you know, very important is for us to make sure that we have that relationship in the right, frame and in the right space. And inshallah, with time, everything else will also, fall into place. Yes. So as we said, it all hinges on the mother. The hand that rocks the cradle rocks the world. And you are the woman that is so important. So take care of yourself. Love yourself. And every other relationship in the home will become a loving relationship. But it all depends on you, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sister Amina. Once again, thank you for taking out the time to be with us here on Friday Fusion this afternoon. And inshallah, we'll catch up with you again soon. So from me, Zakira, we will speak to you again. Until next time, fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran for the opportunity.
Yes, and alhamdulillah, that was a lovely segment we had there today, the Healing Hub segment, where we spoke about the importance of a lady knowing her value and knowing why, as a Muslimah, she has such a big role to play in our society and our ummah. And tying in with that, I think, would be something very interesting for those of you in the KZN area. Tomorrow, inshallah, tomorrow morning, Radio Islam International will be hosting an only ladies event. And where exactly are we hosting this? Well, we're having it at the North Beach Musalla, known as Masjid As-Siddiq, on the corner of McIntyre and Swansea Road. So please make your way over to the Musalla tomorrow morning. We will start off the program bright and early, 9:30. And we will wrap up at around 11:30. So come and join us tomorrow morning at the North Beach Musalla, as many of us may know it, now known as Masjid As-Siddiq. We would love to have you there. What can you look forward to? Well, you can look forward to our young and vibrant youth show presenter, Sumaya Jamal. She will, inshallah, be giving you a perspective of what it means to be a Muslimah, from a youth, from the angle of a youth. Then inshallah we will have a panel discussion with two social workers, one from the Jamiat KZN and the other from the South African National Zakat Fund, SANZAF. So these two social workers, inshallah, will be speaking about what it means to be a single mom. And lastly, to wrap up, we will be having Mu'allima Kersani to do the spiritual angle to our program. And Mu'allima will be speaking about keeping with the theme of Hajj. She will be speaking about the sacrifices of the wives of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar radiallahu anha and Sarah radiallahu anha respectively. And yes, the whole theme of being a single mom is also keeping in with, or tying in with, what exactly it must have felt like for Hajar radiallahu anha, for that time that she was with Ismail alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave them in the valley of Makkah and move on. What must it have felt like for her, and how exactly did she draw on the strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her? So keeping with that theme, we've decided to broaden the horizon a little bit and broaden the spectrum, and we're going to be speaking about what it means to be a single mom. So I know there's many of you out there who, mashallah, are holding court and who really are doing a splendid job of being single moms. So it's almost like an ode to you that we're paying homage to you tomorrow. So please do come by, pop by, even if you can't make it for the entire program and you can only manage to come for part of the program, by all means do come by, even if you can just pop by for the latter half or the earlier part, whichever you would like to. But we'd love to meet with you, and especially those of you who always send me messages and you know, ask me or express your desire, you know, to we should meet sometime, and it would be nice to put a face to the voice. Well, here's your chance, inshallah. And then to wrap up program, I will be doing a short Q&A segment of the female and Qurbani. So often the females would like to know, you know, the usual things. Should I be doing my own Qurbani? You know, can I slaughter my own animal? All these types of things. We will be speaking about that towards the tail end of the program, inshallah. So all that happening tomorrow, that is the 26th of August, Saturday morning, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at the North Beach Musalla, that is Masjid As-Siddiq, on the corner of McIntyre and Swansea Road. So I'll see you there, inshallah. To wrap up the program for today, though, what exactly did we have? We started the program with a lovely segment from Laika, where she spoke to us about the Hajj riders. And, you know, I was just saying that with regards to those Hajj riders, I know on the Facebook page they had come on live when they entered Medina. And subhanAllah, they entering into Medina to Munawwara just brought back live visuals in my mind of what it must have been like when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Medina to Munawwara. Because here people were out in the streets, so excited to meet these people. And for some reason, it just drew me back into history. And I thought to myself, what must it have been like when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinatul Munawwara, subhanallah. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayril khalki kullihimi. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. So yes, that was the Hajj Rider segment. Then we spoke to Amina Kathri Jamal, and mashallah, Sister Amina is a counselor, so she brought up quite a few valid points on why we as Muslimas should love ourselves and invest in ourselves, because our families depend on us, the communities that we live in depend on us, our societies, and more so, the Ummah depends on us. So know that you have a role to play in this Ummah, and that you need to take care of yourself, and your own bucket needs to be full in order to pour out into that of others. And subhanAllah, as she mentioned there, Salah is our connector. 5 times a day we've been given me time. If only we use this me time to our benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that not only will we be benefiting ourselves, but we will also be benefiting the Ummah at large, inshallah. And then to wrap up, as I mentioned to you, tomorrow, 26th August, join us at the North Beach Musalla, inshallah, for the program that will be entitled The Legacy of a Lady. So, meet you there, inshallah. And if you are not in the KZN area, then follow my Facebook page or my Twitter handle, and inshallah, I'll be putting up a link for Mixlr. Now, Mixlr is where you can listen to it throughout the globe, wherever you are, you can listen to the program live, inshallah. So all that and much more coming your way tomorrow. From me, until we meet again, not next week because it will be Eidul Adha, have a beautiful Eid, inshallah. And do remember my family and I in your special du'as during these blessed days. Until we meet again in 2 weeks' time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.